Amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 is where we'll be looking this morning. Kind of wish Tom's could come up here and accompany my sermon. It might sound a little bit better if he did that. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 is where we're at this morning in our Bibles. I just want to praise the Lord for this opportunity to be here. It's kind of a customary thing for graduating seniors or graduating master's students to say, I never thought I was going to make it this far. But that is truly my story. I didn't think I was going to make it this far. And when I look back on who I was as an individual and where I was with the Lord when I came here my freshman year, I have no reason to stand before you. What I'm going to preach to you about this morning is really, in a lot of ways, something God has worked on me in the last 6 years. See, Christianity is not just something you do. Christianity is something you are. It is something you live. It is a relationship. It is not a behavior you put on to make people like you. It is not a behavior you put on to make yourself look spiritual. It is not something you do to get credence in the eyes of others. Christianity is all about the fact that I am a sinner. I am nothing. I am lost. Except for Christ. We're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. And if you will with me, stand out of respect for the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to be looking at one verse this morning, only one verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look at verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Shall we open with a word of prayer? Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to look into your word. God, I thank you for this lesson that you have taught me over the last several years of my life, and for this lesson that you continue to teach me. God, I pray that you would do a work this morning that goes beyond any words I might say. I pray, Father, that by your Spirit you would work in my life and that you would work in the lives of those here, that you may teach us, Father, what it is to be an example of the believers. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I pray for your direction. And God, we give you the glory and the honor and the thanks for all that will happen here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're taking notes today, the title of this message that I'd like to preach to you is this: My Example, My Choice. My example, my choice. When I think of the concept of an example, I mean, you can use the dictionary definition, and I'm basically a walking dictionary anyway, so this is how I think. An example is representative of a group or a type. It is a representative of a group or a type. May I put it to you this way? An example is not acting and being a certain way to look like a certain type of person. But being an example is acting and being a certain way, because you are a certain type of person. Let me give that to you one more time. An example is not acting and being a certain way to look like a certain type of person. But being an example is acting and being a certain way, because you are a certain type of person. I've kind of debated on whether or not I should use this illustration, because I'm a master's student, and I'm supposed to be mature, and I'm 24, and I'm, you know, getting married in 2 months, but, oh well, okay, we're just going to go with it. You know, being an example, it's not being an imitation, okay? It's not being an impersonator of something. It's exemplifying who you are supposed to be, because that's actually who you are. Growing up, I had this weird thing I like to do of doing vocal impersonations, and some of you that have known me know I have not grown up yet, and I still do them. One of the impersonations that I used to do as a child was Elmo, which is kind of surprising probably to most of you considering I sing bass. And it's something I can still do and will not do this morning. But I used to impersonate Elmo all the time as a teenager and unfortunately even into my years here in college. And hopefully this hasn't discredited my message or anything you ever see I do in the rest of my life. But I would impersonate Elmo all the time. I would do his voice. I would do his mannerisms. I'd do that, you know, freaky little laugh thing that he does. It's kind of terrifying, honestly. And it would get a reaction out of people. People would view me as being funny. People would think that was an entertaining thing. I was impersonating Elmo. But I was not Elmo. Which is kind of a duh statement, okay? In that moment, I did not become a furry little red monster with someone else's hand inside of his body making his lips move, okay? I was not a little puppet. I was impersonating that. But I was not an example of a Sesame Street character. I was not a puppet. I was not that character. But I talked like I did. I acted like I was. But that didn't make me one. Being an example goes beyond just acting and being a certain way because you are supposed to be. Being an example is acting and doing things because you are that kind of person. Look with me, if you will, in the scriptures. The first thing I want to point out to you this morning is this. The contrast of an example. The contrast of an example. And the main point I'll be driving at this morning is this. You must recognize that the example you give is your choice. The example you set for other people in your lives, the example of Christianity, the example of Christ, the example of God, the example of your testimony is your choice. The first thing we see in this passage is the contrast of an example. The contrast of an example. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." And this is kind of introductory to the message, but the first thing that Paul puts out there is, "Let no man despise thy youth." That word despise, it's a continual idea of an ongoing despising. The word despise there meaning to look down upon, to count as nothing, to criticize. Can I say it this way? To put petty judgment on. And we read that, and it sounds like Paul is saying to Timothy, "Timothy, you don't let anybody despise your youth." That's not exactly the idea that's being put forth here. It's a third-person imperative, not to bring this always back to language and grammar. Okay, when we give an imperative in English, if I said to Josh, "Stop being weird," or "Ryan, wake up," okay, that's a command directed at an individual person. That's me to you. It's a second-person imperative. What Paul is saying here, it's a third-person, okay? It's not him to Paul. I'm sorry, him to Timothy. But it's him to those outside. And Paul, you could say it this way. Paul is saying, "Hey, all of you out there, nobody criticize this man for his youthfulness. Nobody criticize this man for his youthfulness." Paul's command was to point out, obviously, the pettiness, the sinfulness of petty judgment, but he's also pointing out the fact that, hey, there is a responsibility on each of us not to criticize people for petty reasons. Secondly, Timothy had to recognize the fact that people were going to be petty. Guys, we are entering the ministry, okay? We're Bible college students. We live with petty people, unfortunately. And frankly, we can be petty people ourselves sometimes. Paul is putting out there, okay, Timothy, yes, there's going to be people that are this way. This is not right. This is not acceptable. We're not to respond necessarily to the petty judgments about things we cannot change. But Paul uses a very interesting word after that, and he says the word "but." And you might say, what's the significance of that? We use that word all the time. This is a very specific use of the word "but," okay? It's not just like people are going to be critical, but you be an example. This is a very strong contrast. Can I put it to you this way? Timothy, no one is to be petty and critical of your youthfulness. But Timothy, you're not to give them a reason to be. I cannot control the judgments of other people on my life. But I can be in control of what they think of me. I can be in control of the way I conduct myself. I can be in control of the example that I put forth to others. People are going to look down on you for petty reasons. Their choice of looking down on you is between them and God. You are not to fret over what you cannot change. God made you the way He did. He put you in the time you are in for a reason. We are to leave those criticisms with God and to go forward. And Paul was driving at this point for Timothy. Timothy was not to be known by his physical youth, by his spiritual maturity. It was not Timothy's responsibility what others thought of him. Rather, it was Timothy's responsibility what he gave them to think about. It was Timothy's responsibility what he gave them to think about. And we see here, obviously, a clear balance. While making judgments is the choice of others, being a proper example is yours. While people may be petty in their assessment of you, your actions and your testimony will influence their perspective. May I ask you, what are you known for? Are you known for your youth? Are you known for your maturity? Are you known for your rebellion? Are you known for being the funny guy on campus? Are you known for your intelligence? Are you known for your position? Are you known for your personality? Or are you known for your Christianity? We've seen this contrast of an example, first of all. And second, quickly, I want to look at the choice of an example. The choice of an example. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Be thou an example of the believers. That's a command there. It is to be something. It is a state of being. It is not acting. It is not putting on a show. It is a change that starts within, and it is exemplified externally. I think one of the biggest realizations that hit me as I was studying this passage was this. God does not command you to act like a believer. God does not command you to act as an example. God commands you to be an example. Acting is surface level. Being is heart level. We're told to be thou an example, Timothy is told, and by application to us, be thou an example of the believers. That word believer there is literally the faithful ones. The ones believing, the ones having faith. This example goes beyond just those who have been saved, but it is to be an example of those who are saved by faith and living by faith. This is not simply, do I look like a cultural Christian? This is not simply, do I look like a good Baptist? Which that might include naps and a couple buffets. This is not simply, do I look like an Ambassador Baptist College student? This is not simply, do I look like someone who carries his Bible and looks spiritual? This is, do I live my life in such a way that people look at me and say, he's a Christian. And not just a Christian of the culture, but a Christian of the book. Can I just share my heart with you for a minute? Your conforming to the standards and rules of this institution is not the same as being an example that God commands you to be. You coming in here and dressing the way that you ought and listening to the music that you ought are a good thing, but that is no replacement for being an example. You can fool the people in this college. You can fool those around you. You can even lie to yourself, as the Bible says. But unless you are an example by being an example, you're a fake. I say this with full respect, but you do realize that after you die and you go to heaven, you will not be judged at the judgment seat of Ambassador Baptist College. I say this with full reverence. Ron Comfort will not sit on the throne to judge you. Dr. Beal will not sit on the throne to judge you. Your RA will not sit on the throne to judge you. Your parents will not sit on the throne to judge you. Your family will not sit on the throne to judge you. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. And while you may dot your I's and cross your T's and get good grades, and fill out your CSRs, unless you are an active example of a Christian, you are a failure. I am a failure. This is not a matter of us conforming to some standard that other people have put upon us. This is not about a legalistic setting of standards on myself that make me look spiritual, that make me look like a good person. This is me reflecting the relationship I have with the Lord Jesus Christ who saved my soul from hell. This is me recognizing the fact that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it is by faith in the Son of God and allowing him to live his life through you that you may be an example. Being an example is not acting or doing something to make you look like a certain kind of person. Being an example is acting and being a certain way because you are that kind of person. This is a choice. This is the choice that Paul put forth to Timothy. This is the choice that God puts forth to us today. Your testimony is not to be what you put on at appropriate times. Your testimony is to be who you are at all times with all people. You are to be an example of the believers. Paul's concern was not just Timothy's behavior like a believer, but his state of being an example of a believer. The question is not just, what are you acting like? The question is, what are you? We've seen the contrast of an example. We've seen the choice of an example. Quickly, I want to take a look at the characteristics of an example. Paul doesn't just leave us hanging. He doesn't just say, be thou an example of the believers, you know, those that are faithful, those that have been saved by faith and live by faith. But he gives several different specific areas in which your testimony is directly impacted. And the first one he says is, be thou an example of the believers in word. In word. Very simply, your reputation, your example, your testimony is impacted by the things that you say. It's impacted by your truthfulness. It's impacted by your language. It's impacted by your criticisms. It's impacted by your sarcasm. It's impacted by your derision. It's impacted by your presentation of the gospel. You cannot be an example of Jesus Christ without sharing the gospel. That's just a plain fact. But I believe that the flip side also needs to be weighed out here. You cannot just be an example of Jesus Christ by just giving your testimony, by just giving the gospel. What do I mean by that? It has broken my heart in the times that I have witnessed with people, lost people in the world, whether it be at the workplace or other places, that they said, yes, I've heard the gospel. Yes, I've met Christians. Yes, I've heard the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins to save my soul from hell. But that Christian was a jerk. That Christian was no better than I was. That Christian was a liar. He was dishonest. He was not a hard worker. My friends, just giving the gospel, while necessary, is no replacement for being an example. And if you are not an example, you do detriment to the gospel when you share it. Be thou an example in word. What example do you set by what you say? Secondly, be thou an example of the believers in conversation. That word conversation, it's not Paul repeating himself with the idea of word. It's the idea of your conduct, your way of life, the way you behave, the way you act. Shall I say it this way? Your daily behavior. Your example is seen in what you do day to day. Your example is seen in how you work. Your example is seen in how you do your schoolwork. Your example is seen in how you serve. Your example is seen in how you use your free time. It says in 1 Peter 1:15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. It's the same word. Shall I say that this way? But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of your daily behavior, in everything you do, every act that you take, every part of the daily monotony, whether it be filling out your CSR, whether it be going to work, whether it be going to class, it should set you apart as different, not so that people see you, but see people see him. May I ask you, what is your daily conduct due to your example? Be thou an example of the believers in word. Be thou an example of the believers in conversation. Be thou an example of the believers, third, in charity, in sacrificial love. May I tell you, your example is determined by what you love. And what you love most is that to which you sacrifice the most. You know, that word for charity there, love, it's the word agape. It's not just the romantic feelings, the warm and fuzzy feelings, as Pastor Camp used to say. Okay, it's a sacrificial act. It is a willingness to give of yourself to the one you love, whatever that costs. It is the love that Jesus Christ had when he died on the cross for your sins. It's interesting that Jesus says in John chapter 13:35, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Can I say it this way? By this shall all men see you as an example of the believers, if you have love one to another. Your love for God and your love for others and the interaction you have with the believers determines your example. Quickly, may I ask you, what happens to your example because of the way you love and because of what you love? Be thou an example in word. Be thou an example in conversation. Be thou an example in charity. Fourth, be thou an example in spirit. In spirit. And normally when we read this word spirit, I don't know, if you're like me, when I read this word spirit, I automatically assume, okay, this is either talking about the Holy Spirit or this is talking about, you know, body, soul, and spirit of man. That's not what this use is. The word spirit has a lot of different applications in the Bible, and in this context, it's actually talking about your disposition. It's talking about the state of your mind. Can I put it in everyday terms? It's talking about your attitude. It's talking about the way you act, the way you feel, and how that determines how you act. Your example is determined in your demeanor. Your example is determined by your facial expressions. Your example is determined by your reaction to others and by your outlook on life, your outlook on your responsibilities, your outlook on others, and your outlook on your difficulties. You know, I work with several of these guys over at the factory over there at Greenheck, and I'm pretty patient when it comes to people. When people make, you know, mistakes, it's like, okay, I'm a human, I've made worse mistakes, probably. But when it comes to machines, I'm an extremely not patient person. I expect machines to work. I expect people to sin and make mistakes, and I expect machines to work. And that's probably not a good thing, because man made machines. Okay, there's this one machine that I work with every single day, and it has been a tremendous source of testing and trial. And what this machine does, it's really simple. Honestly, what it does is it takes large sheets of metal, and it uses a suction cup, and it picks them up, and it stacks the pieces of metal in a certain order. And I can load that stack into the laser, and it cuts those sheets in a certain order, okay? Some of you are like, what? Okay. But it's a really simple machine, honestly. It's not that complicated. It shouldn't be that complicated. And this machine has this really, really cool feature, okay? It's got this giant red light. And along with that giant red light, it's got a really nice voice. And what this machine does when it has an error, when something crashes, when one of the sheets get misaligned and they trip a sensor, it begins to sing you the song of its people. Okay? And you could be anywhere in the factory and you think everything is right with the world, and all of a sudden you hear, beep, 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 beep. And it's like, well, here we go again. Okay? And that's just one of the machines I work with, okay? It's a musical factory, I'll tell you what. Okay? But I had to ask myself this question a couple weeks ago. Is my frustration with these machines worth my testimony? Is my attitude about my job worth my testimony? For goodness sake, it's a bunch of metal, and that's controlling my testimony of an almighty God. The attitude you have, the way you react to things in your life, guys, people watch that. People watch that. And the emotional response that you feel you have a right to could do a whole lot more damage than you realize. May I ask you, what does your example look like because of your attitude? What does your example look like because of your attitude? Fifth, be thou an example of the believers in faith. Be thou an example of believers in faith. Very simply, your testimony and your example is set by when you trust God, and by what it takes to shake your faith. Can you follow the logic with me for a moment? I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus Christ has died on the cross to save me from my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ has saved me from the eternal punishment of hell. But I've got this little problem in my life that's millions of times smaller than hell. And I'm not willing to trust him. And my coworkers see me get frustrated about the problems in my life, with the stresses of school or the stresses of work. And then I try to tell them, hey, I can trust in the Lord for my salvation, so can you. And then they see me and they see I can't trust the Lord with this little tiny thing that to them is nothing. But I expect them to believe, first of all, that I can believe that that same God that can't help me with this little thing can save me from hell. And I expect them to see past that contradiction. Your faith, your trust in God, your reliance upon God determines your example. Lastly, be thou an example of the believers in purity. Your example is determined in what you desire, what you think on, what you give into. That word for purity has two uses, really, a ceremonial purity and a moral purity. So you could think of it, yes, in a sexual sense, but you could also think of it just in a response to sin. The way you act about sin and the way you react to sin says a lot about who you are. The Bible says a fool makes a mock at sin. You may not be taking part in it, but if you make light of it, that's just as bad. The entertainment that you delve into, the entertainment that you talk about with your coworkers, what you tell your coworkers you listen to, what you tell your coworkers you watch, what you listen to, all of those things have an impact on the example that you are supposed to be. We've seen the contrast of an example. We've seen the choice of an example. We've seen the characteristics of an example. And in conclusion, I just want to drive a point at this. God never commands you to be an example, in a general sense, because everyone's an example. Everyone, by the actions that they take and the attitudes that they have and the motives behind their actions, sets some kind of example. There is no such thing as a passive human being in that sense. Everyone sets an example. God's concern is what kind of example you are. Are you an example of the believers? May I ask you, are you an example of the believers? Are you an example of immaturity? Are you an example of the believers? Are you an example of a liar? Are you an example of the believers? Are you an example of rebellion? Are you an example of the believers? Are you an example of selfishness and lovelessness? Are you an example of the believers? Are you an example of moodiness? Are you an example of a believer? Are you an example of doubt? Are you an example of a believer? Are you an example of immorality? Are you an example of a believer? Are you an example of a fake? Are you an example of a believer? Or are you the example of a lost? God's question has never been, are you an example? God's question for you and for me this morning is, what kind of example are you? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.